here today. I live in California now, as most of you know, and although I love the Bay Area, I really, really miss singing with my Northwest Sacred Heart friends. The community here is so rich and sustaining, and I'm honored to be here as part of a group that will always, in here, be my home singing, no matter where I may live.
Yay. We love you,
Aaron. And Karen and David have done a fine job so far covering some of the how-tos of leading. And I'm here to talk a little bit more about the experience, the engagement, the synergy that's happening in your leading. And why this is important is because it's really central to the experience of singing Sacred Heart. It's a wonderful experience to sit in your seat, but it's a whole different ballgame to be up in the middle of the square. And I really feel that that's an important experience to have if you're going to be doing this for any length of time. So I'm going to cover a few main points. The first is leading is really about the whole class. It's not me, it's you. I'll talk a little bit about the role of front benches, which Karen alluded to earlier, and I will also talk a bit about something that sounds kind of paradoxical, but it's leading from your seat. So as David Ivey says, leading is an equal mixture of confidence and humility. Yeah, an interesting concept. Confidence comes from understanding and practicing the skills that David and Karen talked about. Being prepared, knowing your songs and your modes of time, and leading smoothly and gracefully. Humility comes from understanding that in singing and leading Sacred Heart, we are part of a cherished tradition. We did not create this tradition. We have inherited it. And it is a precious legacy. So therefore, leading from the center is a study in contrasts. On the one hand, you want to lead with authority and with your own personal stamp. But at the same time, you also need to get out of the way of the song and let it speak through you to the class. And this contrasting role of confidence and humility creates, I think, a very interesting and very rich tension for the leader, and I mean tension in a positive way. The contrast and the tension can be very rich and productive because the contrasts are the crunchy harmonies. It's the part where you really set up, where the good stuff happens, and you really sit up and pay attention. So kind of live with that contrast, work with that contrast, and kind of enjoy having that dual role of being in control, being the authority, and also standing back and letting the song flow through you to your fellow class members. Now, I want to tell you that in the next few minutes or so, you will no doubt see me do things that do not live up to the ideal. I may have a clumsy motion or a hesitation or bring in some part on the wrong note. It's been known to happen. I have watched with intense embarrassment video of myself leading at an all-day singing in which I bounce from foot to foot like I'm waiting in the restroom line after 2 minutes. It really was like side to side, like literally bouncing. Just painful. But it's okay because it's really not about me. It's about leading as a shared experience with the class, making the song as good as it can be for the whole class. So then, of course, the question is how? How can we as leaders make the experience as good as we can, not only for ourselves, but for our fellow singers? So one way is to work on the rudiments, the issues covered in the front of the book. Again, can't say it enough, the modes of time, graceful motions, being prepared. And these are things that you can practice by yourself at home, preferably in front of a mirror. You can actually watch yourself lead, make sure that, you know, the arm is going the way that David talked about, straight up and down, it's not going out here, it's not coming up here. You're leading smoothly, gracefully, and graceful. And as you work on your leading technique, you'll start to discover that there are some intangible aspects of leading that don't have so much to do with technique as they do with the connection that Karen talked about toward the end of her segment. And this kind of engagement can really only be experienced in a square. You're not going to have that synergy with other people when you're sitting at home practicing in front of the mirror. And so some ways to encourage that are look up and make eye contact. Look up if you can. If you're new, you may need to be depending on your book. But if you can, look up and make eye contact. You can share a special moment with someone you know. You can be be anticipating a note that you want to hear, and you know that somebody in one of those sections is going to sing that note for you. So you can have that sense of connection. Smile, even if you're nervous or shaky, or especially if you're nervous or shaky. Try if you can. And if you choose, although this is by no means necessary, you can bring in parts in the fuguing tunes or signal to the basses that you'd like them to take a repeat. So a second good way to connect with the class is, as Karen mentioned, to choose a lesson that's appropriate to the time of day and the mood of the class, and to limit your verses. And this isn't just a technical point. This is actually really part of making the experience a positive one for everyone. And so just as we avoid jarring or awkward arm movements when we're leading, we also want to avoid jarring and awkward song choices that can bring the energy of a class to a screeching halt. We've all been there. The energy is high, people are enthused, it's going like gangbusters, and somebody calls 448 on the top. And that is a wonderful tune at the right time, but sometimes it's like, oh, we're going up. Stop. The energy just drops at that point. So try to be mindful and really place your song carefully so that you're going to get the maximum impact, so that you're giving the class what they need. If the mood is high, let them continue that mood. If it's after the memorial lesson, people are feeling somber, they're feeling reflective, that may not be the time for something super fast. The class may need a little more time to come down. So with experience, be mindful of that, your choices. And being judicious about your verses at an all-day singing is another way to show respect for singers and other leaders. And so finally, a third way to connect with the class is to be mindful also about not only what you lead and how you lead it, but also how you present yourself. Every leader has his or her own personal style, but that doesn't mean it's a free-for-all, that you can kind of come up here and sort of do however the spirit moves you. We do, in Sacred Harp, have rules and traditions that exist for very good reasons. This is true of every art form. And what's wonderful about that for Sacred Harp is it gives us a shared language. It gives us a shared foundation of knowledge. And so no matter where we sing and who we sing with, there are certain shared values, shared traditions that we all know. So whether you are singing in Chicago, Illinois, Cleburne County, Alabama, or County Cork, Ireland, you're going to stand facing the tenors, and you're going to sing through the shapes before doing the notes. It's just the way we do things, and it allows us to be consistent and to understand one another. And your fellow singers will notice and appreciate these subtle acknowledgments that you're thinking of them as you lead your lesson. And they will give their best to you, and also, more importantly, to one another. So let's keep that in mind as we open to 285 on the top. And as we sing, observe the front benches and allow yourself to feel the song as the class sings together. And we are going to sing the first verse only, please.
Thank you.
more on the upbeat. And that can sometimes be a little tricky. Do you beat the rest? Do you not beat the rest? I kind of do what Karen does, which is I do sort of a modified, bring my hand down, bring in the two. And announcing my choices and maintaining eye contact, which especially with these front-fetch tenors, helps keep everybody together and helps everybody come in on time. And were you surprised by the tempo at all? No, not really? Okay, because I like this one a little slow. Some people like it a little faster. Some have let it slower even than that. And but the interaction, again, with the front bench tenors helps you keep the song the way you want it, the tempo you want, the way you want it to be sung. And so the front bench tenors really do have an important job to do. And again, kind of echoing back to what Karen said, I really feel like these things can't be said often enough. But it's happened to all of us where our arm starts going up and, oh, wait, I thought it was going down. And everybody started singing and I wasn't ready yet. And it's going too fast. It's going too slow. What happened to my song? And at that point, you might feel a sense of righteous indignation. What did Jack and Tom and Kevin think they're doing? This is my song. And the answer is that they're actually doing exactly what they're supposed to do, which is to try to divine what you want. And it's sort of an interesting challenge. And then reflect that back to the class. So be aware that they're not trying to take your song from you. They're not deliberately doing it other than the way you want. They're really doing their best to try and figure out what you want. And so if you've never sat on the alto bench, you may not realize how hard it is, sometimes literally impossible it is to see or hear the leader. If there's a lot of people in the square or if you're sitting way in the back, you're going to be relying on the basses and on the trebles to show you, are we taking that repeat? I had no idea what the leader said about verses or repeats. Sometimes the leader doesn't announce their verses or repeats and they do this or they do this. But if you're way back there, you don't know what that verse is going to be. So paying attention and watching those front benches, they will signal. I have seen many times, Tom, that letter three is up there, that number three is up there, so we know what we're doing. Jack is up there with his hand way out, so we know what's going on. And so the front benches really do have a very important job to do. And so don't be discouraged if your leading doesn't go quite the way you wanted or expected. Let the tenors guide you, but also do remember that they have a job to do. And someday you may find that the front bench tenors are following you rather than the other way around. And so although the person in the center of the square leads the lesson, as we've seen kind of throughout the morning so far, seated singers lead too, but in a somewhat different way. The role of the front bench tenors may be the most visible, but all front bench singers should be beating time. And those further back are encouraged to do so as well. And here's a key point. This is just as important at local singings as it is at all-day conventions, because it really gives you a chance to stay together with one another and also to practice. If you're leading in your seat, you're gearing up, you're practicing for that time that you may want to lead that song in the middle of the square. So having said that, leading from your seat, beating time, here's a tip. When you see a good leader, it is perfectly okay to stop singing and simply watch that person. Unless, of course, you are a front bench singer, where you really owe it to the class to be active on every song. But if you're in the second row, or you're way in the back of the tenor, or the back of the alto, and you see a leader get up and immediately command the attention of the class, and you'll know it. Somebody like Rita Dell, who Karen mentioned, boy, the minute she comes into the square, you know it is going to be some good leading. And you can look up from your book and just watch that. You don't necessarily have to try to beat time and sight read and watch the leader and try to do everything at once. It's okay to just watch and just observe. Because if you're watching, it means you don't have your nose in your book. If you're watching, it means you are giving the song and the class your undivided attention. If you're watching, it means that you're looking up across the square, maybe catching the eye of a friend, somebody you haven't even had time to greet yet this morning. But you see them sitting over there, and your heart just fills with joy to see that they're here today singing with you. And so let's now open to page 276. And I would encourage people to watch if they choose, and everyone who wishes to try leading from their seat, keeping smooth time and watching the leader.
Class, the success of the song, and the success of the day. Now, we have a summary of everything that we have taught in our formal leading lesson today, all put out in a little booklet. And as soon as I can get over there, I'm going to grab them all, and I'm going to put a big stack, the stack of them, on the registration table. So at the break, you can get them. And feel free to approach any of us throughout the day, the rest of today, or tomorrow if you've got particular questions. Thus endeth our formal lesson, Madam Chair. We turn it back over to you.